I want to, just for a minute, ask you to turn to Ezekiel 28. Again, let's look at a couple things in here, and then I'm going to go to Ephesians 2, and I want to look at a few more things with you, with it, in relation to our call. See, hey, this is funny, though. I never get over it, but I almost can tune myself out from the noise, background noise from each of us on there, and Anika hears it, and she tunes you guys right out so you won't be interrupting my message with the dishes or whatever it might be. In one case, I was on with one of my sons. He was walking his dog while he was online with me. You know, this overlapping technique, don't worry about it. And I said, put the dog up and right now and stay with me. So look at Ezekiel 28, and I want to celebrate all of you. Thank you for all of your prayers, and all the things that's happening in the kingdom of darkness against the Satan and all of his works because of your fervent lives lived before God. I just want to, even though you're praying and you know that is living out of the eternal world, just prayer itself. But if you consider the Bible, which to worldly people, the devil and all of his hosts, it's actually nonsense. If the devil can keep you and me in the natural realm, he can hinder your growth in the eternal realm. And that means you don't pay attention. And prayer is actually not just going to God with your problems. It's a divine focus to pay attention to God and what he wants done. That's why he says, and we have this confidence if we ask anything according to his will, meaning you've been paying attention to God and therefore are praying what God wants to get done. See? And there's something about evil that wants you to ignore good and move from satisfying and meeting the needs of the world to satisfying your own selfish fleshly desires. But you are that company who are focused on what God wants to get done, in actual fact, to wind up his creation itself as far as the earth is concerned. And so I read to you last week out of Psalms 139 and out of Isaiah 40. And really it talked about the amazement of God, and God was actually in some of those verses was expressing who he is. And God could never brag about himself or ever get into pride because you couldn't come up with an expression that could actually identify and recognize his amazement. Words itself, you think about it now, words are limited in any language because God existed before language. And so that's why salvation is of the heart. The word gets you to pay attention to God. And as you do, faith comes alive and you then are saved by faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And so that faith is in that dimension where God is. And the abiding three substances of 1 Corinthians 13, there abides faith, hope, and love. So these abiding values of the eternal world are faith, hope, and love. They are these great qualities, and of course, that come from God. But there was a usurper in there in the heavens And here it is. And verse 13, I'm reading out of the Living Translation. I have the King James here with me. And it's beginning to talk about this Lucifer. I could keep going further up, because it's amazing how you get the opportunity in all of Scripture to look at it naturally and spiritually. What the tendency is for man, because he has a natural body and a natural mind and a natural understanding, the tendency for the devil is, if he couldn't keep you from getting born again, to keep you paying attention to everything natural. Natural thinking, natural goals, acknowledging natural achievement. But the whole life of God is about what you accomplish in the world where God is. And that takes a different kind of attention. As a matter of fact, without the Holy Spirit, you and I can't even see it. See? But being that you're born again of the Spirit, the goal of God, one, was to get you born again, but two, is to get you paying attention. And you could never be extreme in paying attention to God. Why? Because you could never exhaust an understanding of who he is. Because understanding itself, in terms of the concept of what it means, is limited. You see? The reason that you and I have to have understanding is because we don't naturally know God by the essence of who we are. But in the next world, the brain, learning in the way that we think of learning, having teachers, all these concepts are all redemptive concepts. Redemptive means these are things that came to us because of Adam's transgression. See? Because in the creation itself, when you think about Adam, when by definition, all the inclusive knowledge of God was in seed form in Adam when he said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Now, you don't get to know the potential of Adam unless you have God reveal to you who he is. Because by the description of Scripture, image and likeness, that also says who mankind was in the creation. Now, Jesus then comes as the last Adam, and we were amazed at the things which he did, but he did those things again to get attention, not to get homage to him, because he was in the Father's will. And is redeeming the failure of mankind, not only in fixing Adam's transgression, but in the living below the standard of the Creator. See? In the redemption story, he's not only causing us to be born again, but to live a life that is obviously God's life, but it's amazing to anybody and anything that doesn't know God. And just as God is not challenged by anything like sickness and diseases and all, I was saying to Bishop and his wife, to Eileen and Bishop Hunt last night, just, you know, some of the things, but sickness is a fallen quality. And the idea of healing is redemptive. But there would have been none of these things. Look at all of it in the New Testament that you want to look at. It's all redemptive stuff that we're dealing with below what existed with God before the fall. Now, this particular passage here tells you some of what was going on in the heavenlies, that God used a metaphor of Israel and the prophet talking about natural countries and people, but then he alludes to Satan and what was happening there. And so Just one more thing. So you and I will know as we are known in the next world, and it won't be a process of learning. See, it's a just knowing. And ignorance won't be one of your qualities as it is now. There's a lot you and I don't know now. And there are certain things that God just won't reveal to us. Like right now, the activities and fullness of what happens to a spirit that goes with God, to be absent from the body, to be present with God. So in the thinking of mankind, there's not a lot said about it. There's quite a bit in Scripture, as I'm, you know, just God has put it on my heart to look at the eternal with a sharper eye by the Spirit. So I'm looking at it, and prayerfully, as the knowledge of that reality come to me, I'm changed into it. Now, I do ask God, I'm telling you, to change me into the revelation he's given me. And I can tell you that the revelation that he's given me was already there at the birthright. It's just that I was consumed by the flesh. You not only have flesh, but as a believer even, you are fleshly. Man being born into the world is worldly. But the process of rebirth causes you to become godly. Now, the level of knowledge that you can gain, this book contains the seed of it, but not the consummate of it. The consummate knowledge of God is in the person of Christ. And he didn't give us everything. He gave us enough that we can enter into the world of the eternal and live out of that world. Because that's the food we ate when we became born again, to get into that world. Now, the challenge of the devil is to keep you so focused on the challenges of this world that we're not growing with the kind of veracity necessary to be able to inhabit significant responsibilities in the next world, which is where you're headed. Hey, that's a lot, wasn't it? That was a whole lot. But that's just where it is with me right now. But I believe it's that way in the Bible. So let's just look at a few things in this Ezekiel 28, if you come on there with me. See, I don't even know, I believe it though, I don't even know how much of an appetite you have for this, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. That's what it looks like to me. So here, you know, the way this starts out in the verse 11, this is where I'm starting from, basically. Not where it starts out. It says, then this further message came to me from the Lord. This is Ezekiel talking. Son of man, sing this funeral song for the king of Tyre and give him this message from the sovereign Lord. Now see, so that's where you have this metaphor between the natural and the spirit. And if you are not toward the tendencies of God, you wouldn't have any kind of pull toward understanding this the eternal part of what's going on here. And so here, it says, you were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and exquisite in beauty. Now, you know good and well, he's not talking about a king. See that? You were in Eden, the garden of God. Now, you should notice that phrase. I circled it. And it's talking about a place you were. Now, it's interesting that in the creation of man, he ends up in the garden of Eden. But when you listen to what was going on here about the heavenlies, you also are giving a description of it, okay, of what's there. Now, I'm telling you that all of the creation in the earth, because of Adam's transgression, is not giving you a picture of the essence of the beauty of heaven. That's why almost everyone that has kind of literally been translated into that realm all come back with expressions like, the colors were so amazing, I can't even describe the colors, the beauty, oh man, the environment, the love that was there, all of that. And that's basically when you and I go to heaven, I can just tell you that's the environment we get captured into. We're supposed to live out of that environment now and create the beauty that we've seen. We're allowed to create that beauty. Like for example, you heard me talk to you about Deuteronomy 11, when he says, if you put the word of God first place there, 18 to 21, as the days of heaven upon earth. Now there, he's saying that as you see the heavenlies and it becomes vital to you, he's saying, I ordained you to have that in your home. See? But to get it in manifestation, there has to be a transformation of your life personally. And then of your vision, the vitality of what it looks like in the heavenlies for you to give into what it can look like here in the earth. In earth as it is in heaven. That's already been ordained. And your heart is the repository. I remember Fort Knox is where gold used to be kept, but the treasuries of God now is kept in your heart. But just like for a man to find gold, he had to dig for it. For you to find the gold that's in you and me, we have to dig for it. But it's there in the person of Christ, but it manifests itself into material benefits like gold, like wealth, wisdom, love, you know, all the qualities of God in seed form is in you and me right now. Okay, so there you are. And again, the devil is to keep you hindered. Listen, I mean, if I get natural with you just for a minute, I mean, I said it, I kind of admitted it to Bishop Hunt and Eileen. I said, well, I've told the story about my wife goes into the hospital. We went to a doctor's appointment, and the doctor says, go. Ms. Ellen was with me, my wife and me. And so, yes, she came there in a car. I drove her there to the doctor's office. And then the doctor, we explained to him what was going on. He says, okay, let's take her out and put her back in the car. And then, but he put her in a wheelchair. And from that level on, that time on, she's been at wheelchair level and just in the hospitals that she's been in, she exploded into this person on her back. And listen, now, it wasn't only the issue of her being sick. It was the issue of the devil also attacking what the purpose of God is for her life and mine. See? Because, yeah, she is an attraction to me and a priority because once God, I said, I do, we became one together. She became the primary priority where my birthright was lived out. So in other words, I'm born again, but I'm demonstrating it to her. That's where it was. So just because she became sick, that doesn't mean I stopped my demonstration of the life of God. See? So whatever treatment I may give her, whatever I may do for her, if it's affirming, it has more to do with God than me. Now, even the heart that I still have for her, that's a transformed heart. That's not an earthly heart in the sense that I love her. Some of it that I'm experiencing, I didn't even know I would function like this. And so I can tell you that it was the day before that I got the idea of the roses. I wasn't even thinking about my anniversary because I was consumed with the challenges of life and her being in the hospital, not us being married. And then I realized, wait a minute, she's still my wife. I mean, of course I knew it, but I wasn't conscious of that. That wasn't the emphasis. And then I became drawn into, I wonder what effect it would have on her if I gave her roses like I did every year to match the year we were born, that we'd been married. And so, boom, it happened. I did it. I didn't know what the response was going to be. And so all that happened. And then I don't even really, if you ask me, how did I think about recording her reaction? And then the idea that she would say in these words that to me sound naturally pitiful when she said, "I love you," like that. I was amazed by it. I said, "You talk to me," because she had only said like one word prior to that for the last 6 or 7 months. So I'm amazed. But see, anything good, I'm talking about in essence, where the behavior is exemplary, it's more God than us, any way you look at it. But at the same time that God is moving, the devil is still active. And the only time that's going to stop is when God winds up history as we know it and does what he says he's going to do in sending the coming of the Lord. So the devil is busy. At the same time, there is good. My attention to my wife, I was asked to speak in 4 different places in the last like 2 months, and I didn't do any of them. And the only 2 I did were the 8-8 and the 10-10. And then that was exceptional for me to say, okay, I'm going to do this 8 hours with you if you want it. And then I said, I'm going to do it 10-10. And so I had to face down any tendency to think about, well, will anybody be there? Well, God created an excitement in these people down here and an excitement in a number of you who came. And then down in the 10-10, the same kind of thing happened. And in both cases, I laid hands on every single person. And in the second meeting, I end up with COVID. It would never stop me. Listen, I still, if I was inspired to do a 12-12, I still would do it. I'm not inhibited at all on anything. And one of the reasons is I'm pulling out and pretty much living out of a life that is the permanent realm. And that's the eternal. Now, I'm not perfect in it, but I press on. And Paul would say it after all that he was accomplishing. He still say, I said, I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling. Now, what that is? And then he goes to here, as many as be perfect. Man, what is this? See? So, the fact that we're living is an opportunity to press into the world where God is without limitation. And the ones that are in the heavenlies now shouting him down, they couldn't shout enough, because his greatness is indescribable. His glory is, and holiness is so other. Now, we get glimpses of it. The Holy Spirit can show us all of it, but he doesn't seem to want to do that, and God doesn't seem to allow him to do that. But when we die, which we don't know a lot about it in that world, that's why so many people are afraid of it. You know, and, I mean, the Bible tells us, you know, to fight sickness and diseases and death itself, but both of both sickness and disease and death has been defeated already. But to live like that, it takes the Holy Spirit's quickening to live like that. But there are people like that are in Christians that are in communist China right now, and there are people who go into the ghettos and where is clearly dangerous and all over, because the church, after it was born again, was challenged by Herod, and many of the religious people killed Christians, and that just made Christianity explode, not only from them running, but for them setting their jaw and standing flat-footed on God. And that actually is Peter. That's from his cowardice prior to the resurrection to his boldness afterward and being the one that declared this gospel to this resurrection life to masses of people, see, with the other apostles. And so here we are. And so we got this thing going on with us now in the last year and a half or two and that stuff, but it's not in the category of the early apostles and the early church. I mean, that was, they were martyred every kind of way, just like Jesus was martyred on the cross. Numbers of Christians, including the apostles, they got martyred. So there are times where God said, no, don't go here, to some of the apostles, or particularly Paul. And there are other times he said, you can go here. I'm gonna let you be imprisoned. He didn't tell him in advance, I'm going to break you out while you're praising me. No, he had to be godly no matter where he was, because the assignment of the transformation and responsibility of his life did not stop with prison. See, he just came in there to turn it out. Now, it doesn't happen to everybody. The people who go to prison die in there. People falsely accused. I mean, there's all of this in the kingdom. See, but the goal of the devil is to take you away from a focus on the eternal Father and his amazing plan, which we couldn't stand it. It busts our brain open for him to show us everything. Paul said in Colossians, this mystery that was hid from ages. So that means that God said, I couldn't even show it to you before. I mean, can you imagine what Revelation, it says? It says knowledge puffs up. In other words, he said knowledge will bust you up. It'll bust your brain out. It'll tear you up. And this is what you got right here. So let me go ahead and finish reading this thing here now, because I mean, I saw what time I came on, 25 after. So the preliminaries was 25 minutes. Okay, so that's what we had got. So don't be trying to ask me to be short on this. So I'm just giving it up to you right now. So that's what we got. So now look. So it says in verse 13, so like verse 12b, it says, you were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and exquisite in beauty. Now, take those phrases, model of perfection, full of wisdom, exquisite in beauty. Now, and look at it. And just watch. You were in Eden. So that's, see that? Is he talking about there in the earth? No. He's not talking about that. He's talking about in the heavenly. So there was an Eden in the heavens. The garden of God. There's a garden in the heavens. What is this garden? Is it the same as what is on the earth? That's the meditation right there. And I can tell you right now, no. Because everything on the earth is only a figure of the heavenlies in some form. It's not consummate that. And then he says, your clothing was adorned with every precious stone. Now, that's not the rhinestones that Elton John wear, or that, you know, some of these actors and actresses, singers wear. It's not that, you see. No, this stuff, everything he's talking about is not put on. He goes into it. Red carnelian, a pale green peridot, white moonstone, blue green beryl, onyx, green jasper, blue lapis lazuli, you know, and some of these things we don't even know what they are in terms of it. Turquoise and emerald, all beautifully crafted for you and set in the finest gold. Look at this. They were given to you on the day you were created. See, now this is really important, because when you say were given to you, that gives you the thinking that God had gold, you know, in the heavenlies and all these different stones that he handed them to him. No, he says, on the day you were created. Now, what you wouldn't probably come to in this is to say that everything that's in man came from in God. Did you hear that? It's in you. Now, like beauty that you were able to create, let's say some people are just amazing interior decorators and their homes look gorgeous. Where did that come from? Well, they bought furniture. They bought maybe artwork. They bought figurines and all this. But Somebody made that and knew that there's something inside of you that would be attracted to it. But they were ahead of you. It was attracted. They took the creation in the earth and made what you would call vases or furniture or chairs and all that. But that came from inside of them. Well, this is exactly what he's saying here about here, Lucifer himself. All of this stuff, they were given to you, he says, on the day you were created. Like I said to you earlier, inside of you is Christ. You were born from above. And I said the qualities of God are inside of you. So these things outside of you is just the potential of the God inside of you, which, again, needs to be cultivated. So just look at some. Let's look at some of this. Verse 14, I'm reading. Those of you that just come on with me, I'm just saying, kind of go along with me. I just want you to pay attention to it. There's something that will happen to you spiritually if you pay attention to things with a focus beyond having your needs met and your circumstance resolved. God still has a plan. See? He says, look, verse 14. I ordained, look at this now, and anointed you. Now, you could have an anointing to do something, but be out of the ordained responsibility. See, you can have an anointing and be doing evangelism, but you're really called to pastor. Your ordination is not evangelism. So God separates the two things here and says, I did both of these to you. I ordained and anointed you as the mighty angelic guardian, a guardian. It says in the King James Version, as the anointed cherub that covereth. And both of those have the expression of responsibility. You see that? Where did that come from? God says, I ordained that for you and anointed you to take a responsibility. And then, as though this is exclusive, he says, you had access to the holy mountain of God, which says not every one of the cherubims and seraphims or whomever, and if some of them did, he was included in that company, access to the holy mountain of God. So then we get the clue that even in the heavenlies, there is a place in God that we think of a mountain, but he's not talking about mountains that we think about in the earth. But he is talking about a higher place. Hey, do you get that? See that? And then he says, and walked among the stones of fire, which means that he's allowing him to be in a place where that if God didn't allow it, you couldn't get there. And if he didn't allow it, you couldn't do that. So I'm just telling you that in the heavenlies, it's not random. That's a good word for me and you. And he's describing what this cherubim was able to do and what he access that he had. And then he makes a statement, verse 15. You're blameless. All these things I circle. You're blameless in all you did. Can you think of that now? So blameless, what is that? In other words, if God was to evaluate the assignment and responsibility, which also says that this Satan, this Lucifer had responsibility and God was paying attention to it. But God doesn't have to pay attention to anything the way we do. Because God is all-knowing. And out of God's all-knowing, he says, exactly. Talking about Lucifer. And all that you did, look, from the day you were created. Can you imagine this? Never, ever being off your game. And it's not a game in the sense of using that term, but in life until the day evil was found in you. Now, isn't that amazing? It's as though there was examination, but God didn't have to examine he can just observe, and this is what was happening. That just as Jesus said, the Bible says that he knew what was in all men. Well, here you're seeing that God knew what was in all cherubims. It was found in it. God does not explain to us where that came from, but he does explain how it came. See? See that? Are you with me here? I'm hitting it right now. There's stuff in here to pay attention to, and that's why what I'm doing right now with you. And eventually I wanted to get, I may, if I read quicker and did less discussion, I would get to Ephesians 2 and 3 with you, which is alludes to some of this right there over there. Look, okay, so again, until the day evil was found in you. Now, so let me just say this. So, in other words, there's a specific time and found in you, God says, okay, it wasn't always that way. And then he starts explaining this. He says, your rich commerce led you to violence. Wow. So one of the evil things he did was violence. See? And then he says, what was this? What moved this you to do this? It says this, your rich commerce. And in other passages, in terms of this, the ability to be able to be effective. Here in the King James, it says, because of the multitude of thy merchandise. Commerce. How you handle a business is the result of having the business itself. But this kind of commerce isn't like the stuff, the commerce like you have in here. This commerce was the ability to activate the things of God. God almighty, people, come on now. Woo! I'm sorry right now. I'm getting quickened here. See, because you and I are trusted with the activation of the things of God. You and I wouldn't call it commerce. But it's not a commerce like you and I. The ability for a man to be wise in his ability to handle the market. One guy told me just a few days ago that he didn't say he was rich, but he says fluctuation to a person that knows the market. Volatility is what he did. Volatility. He says is a good word. He says, and the knowledge tells you, and you're knowing the market, when to make your moves or not. And this guy said he knows when to get in, when to get out. And he's pretty rich. But he learned that. See? It's not that kind of commerce. The knowledge that he had, that's the commerce. The activity of it, that's subsequent to the knowledge. But the Lord said, this led you to violence, and you sinned. Now, God doesn't explain to us the violence. What's this violence stuff? See? In other words, he was disrupting the creative essence and flow out of the position that he had and the responsibility that he was doing. See? And so God said, okay, so now this is it. God says, you sinned. Now, we don't think of angels as sinning. Now, when we think of sinning, we think in this world of lying, stealing, cheating, adultery, and all this. Now, what was the sin? The sin with God is getting in thought, word, or deed out of alignment with God in any way. And this we don't seem to get when we think about holiness. We're getting in alignment with God in every way. And godliness is the outworking of the life of God through the transformed inner life. You get that? See? And that's where you and I give ourselves over to God in times of consecration and prayer and those kind of things. You give yourself over to God. He doesn't necessarily tell you what you're being transformed into and what's going to be your new capability and when it's going to manifest. See? Revelation from the spirit world is a sacred trust. And you grow into responsibility. But isn't that true in terms of this world? We'll give people responsibility because of education. God gives you responsibility because of transformation. See that? You don't change into what he wants you to be, you can't handle the responsibility. The knowledge of doing something is in there, is in you. See? Okay, here we go. See what I'm saying? I'm not even any close to being finished. So, I'm reading verse 16, if anybody's there with me. Using the Living Translation right now, but I haven't toggled enough between the King James. But let me read verse 16 again in the phrase A. And your rich commerce led you to violence. And you said, now, are you paying attention to that? I said, you need to look at violence. What is that? The commerce, I explained that to you. And you sinned. The violence, you know, in the King James, it uses the same word. But it says, they have filled in the midst of thee with violence. Listen, God, again, judges the heart. See? In other words, he knew that the devil was going to come to trying to usurp the angelic hosts to power to try to go against God. Now, that was the insanity of all of that. And God says, so what? So guess what I did? I banished you in disgrace. What do you mean disgrace? That means, watch this. Somebody was looking. Are you hearing me? In other words, this wasn't done in secret. See? And so therefore, the place he was at, God took him down from it. In this case, from the mountain of God, which means not every one of the hosts were there. He had that privilege, as you saw in verse 14, of being there. See? And there's something special about access. I say to you that prayer is our appreciation of our access to God. Now, I find myself, you know, in these parking lots and whatever, but the issue isn't the parking lot or secrecy. It's giving God his specialness. That's really not a word that I know about, but it's giving God his place. It's letting God know that he can take me somewhere that no one else can, is privileged to be, if he realized I made him my priority. And I can tell you, I can't say I've done that fully. And when I get alone with him, I can say, I mean, what is supposed to be excluded from your life if you really want to deal with it? See, I like golf, and I play it, and, you know, but look, I don't really even know if this is a legitimate question. And I like Perry Mason. Yeah. You know, and television, you know, the Paramount Plus. I know how to get to it. I've seen all of them. See? Now, there are reasons I like it, though. It does have some redemptive value to me. And that is, one, in terms of Perry Mason is, you know, he finds the crookedness. The good guy wins and the bad guy loses. And that just reminds me of you and me in the kingdom. We call it win. And expose the devil, and that's the way it's going to end up with God. I kind of like that. And ain't no sex, no kissing, nothing like that. I like all that. But I don't, that's not an emphasis with me. That's just that I just like that. I like to see how he's going to get them. And now people who look at it pretty much know all of that. And some people like figuring it out. I know that Judy, over over there, Reed says she became an attorney because of Perry Mason. I didn't even know that until just a few months ago. That's some great stuff. Well, she may have said it before, and it didn't hit me like I'm Perry Mason in it now. Okay? So look, but should I turn it off? Don't even look at it. How much time should I spend in the Word? Should I quit golf? Should I not play it at all? If a round of golf takes 4 hours, should I give God 4 hours in prayer to match the 4 hours golf? Or golf has the ascendancy. Is that the case? See? For every person, you have to work that out. I can tell you that. Look at this. There's no 4 hours in the natural can match 1 minute with God when God is vital. Did you get that? Meaning, the manifestation of God to you transcends time. It could be in a divine second or a minute, and it could cover a century of understanding. You can't compare anything in the natural to time spent with God because it's timeless in terms of the revelation. There you are. Well, anyway, but you got to work it out, you see. Do I have it all worked out? No. So I handle it carefully with the grace of God in that. But Paul, perhaps all of you have something you like that's natural. Okay. I could go there, but I can't. All right, let me just give you a little more, please. Just bear with the bishop here right now. Okay, so I banished you in disgrace, says in verse 16b, from the mountain of God, so therefore a lower placement. I expelled you, almighty guardian, and that means, you know, look, there is disapproval. And God says, this is what I made you, though. Almighty guardian, that's what he did. So now you know some of his responsibility. And then secondly, from the place among the stones of fire, now you know where he was. So up there in that realm where the stones of fire, or verse 14, you can see it again. There's something about what was going on up there in the mountain of God. And again, it's, you think of natural fire because it's a metaphor of something there. Jesus, the burning bush. That was the fire of God, but the bush was not consumed. It's the ability of God. It's like that. God can make it damaging, like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. The fire destroyed even the knowledge of where they were, where it was located. We're still guessing theologically about it. Or it's the fire of God there with the burning bush, and the bush was not consumed. You understand? It's what God intends to do with it, but it's something that you don't want to mess with. The earth is going to be consumed. No longer just a couple of cities, but the entire earth by the fire of God. See? And wherever that fire exists, the devil was able to walk among it. See? Your heart was filled. Now, that's a place you got to look at because that's what God's looking at. See, in your members, your heart, the deceitful above all things, your heart was filled with pride. There it is. Now, pride is something. So that's associated with the devil himself. But God defines what was going on with his heart. And then he defines why in the subsequent verses. And I'm going to have to take that up next week. Because of your beauty, your wisdom, all this, I want to go into that some more. But right now, I'm just going to just end it right here with you. But God, thank you so much, for the revelation of you and the world that we're in, this world with you. Compared to just reading these scriptures, we don't know nothing. And when we arrive into the heavenlies vitally, we'll get some idea, as so many who's gone before us has gotten, of how ignorant we are when it comes to spiritual realities. We don't even know to plead with you with the kind of passion that would make you unveil your wisdom. There are a few people right now, Lord, who seem to be demonstrating your wisdom in a way that seems that is exceptional. And yet, it's nothing compared to who you are and what you can give and do. Great God and marvelous King. Thank you for what you did to Lucifer and your unveiling it to us. And yet, thank you now for letting us pay attention to it more closely. That even though our tendency is to look up definitions and terminology, you still have to reveal things to us by the Spirit that transcends words and definitions. And one clear thing is our being born again. We can say what happened to us, the experience, but how it happened, the quickening, the change of motivation, the spiritual takeover of our emotions, the transformation of our lives in terms of priorities and essence, what we live for, what we tolerate. All the good in us is just an unveiling of your greatness, because we don't have anything that wasn't given to us if it's good. To God be the glory. Now, Father, I bless all of the soldiers on the line with me, and also as we move out into the things of God. And I want to just pray right now, Lord, before I came on, Ms. Ellenwood sent me a notice about a video that these gentlemen put together for your bishop to help him have a greater reach. I know God is doing it. In this case, he's using some professional people, though, that seem to want to help me. And so thank all of you for your believing in your bishop and your hunger for God, for your living it out in challenges of life. And I'll tell you something, that the devil has a fallen archangel that we read. He's not worthy of you, and nor is anything in this world. And that's why what God's going to give you for rewards had nothing to do with what's here. It won't make it where you're going to go. Nothing in the earth is going to make it where you're going. It's going to be burned by the fire of God. You're so valuable, people of God. Yes, you are. May God continue to unveil to you his Spirit. May it become your reality, and may you live out of the substance of the divine life. To God be the glory. As I have prayed for numbers of you and my wife and the circumstances, continue by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, to pay attention to what God is doing, because that's what's amazing. God bless you. Listen, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Bishop. That's some good stuff. This kingdom life we live in, whew, you're right. We can't explain it. No question about it.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's a mystery. It's
a mystery. I found levels in me, daughter, that was times when I am down.
Sir?
I said, I found levels in me times that I realized, dude, there's so much, I could go so much further in God in terms of becoming, not in terms of doing. I mean, you can, through intelligence, education, being mentored, go and do a lot of things better.
Yes.
But to become like God, he has to do that.
Yes.
And that's what we want most of all, even if we don't know it. That's what we really want.
That's what we want, Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want. Well, that's a sila on that one for sure. Amen.
That's right.
So Anika put that one up on Facebook if you want to listen back at that. There's some stuff in that, goodness. All right, my bishop. You are a wonder as well.
Thank you, daughter. Look, See, you won't allow me to take the month of December off. You already, and the whole year. You're saying I gotta hit 2022. Well, I guess you must be right, because I'm totally planning on hitting it. So those of you that want it, just get ready, or don't get ready, just put a demand on it. You pray for where I should go and what I should do, and all these things that I'm doing, videos and all the other things that's going to happen. I believe God is getting me ready for it. And you might be hearing some of it. You might have heard some of it this morning, today, to be honest with you.
All right, Bishop. All right. Well, ladies, let's continue to keep Bishop up for this year coming. Like he said, if he has some professionals helping him work out some things in the natural, and we're going to see some great things this year coming up, Bishop. I'm super psyched for it.
Thank you. Amen.
Continue to pray for Mrs. Boone as well. For Dallas, for Mary, let's keep one another up. And hey, we love you guys so much. We've been family for over a decade. It's an amazement to me when I think about it. God is so good, and He's been so good to us. So you guys have an awesome week, and we'll see you next week. God bless. Bye bye.